namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om 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 namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Mana bhava mat bhakto,
mana bhava mat bhakto,
madhyaji mang namaskaru,
madhyaji mang namaskaru,
mame vaishyasi satyam te,
mame vaishyasi satyam te,
pratijane priyosime,
pratijane priyosime.
This verse is spoken by Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme authority on Vedic knowledge and transcendental knowledge. And as he establishes here, is the supreme goal of all such knowledge. In this Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence of all Vedic literatures, Krishna here gives the essence of all advice, that one should always think of him. The result of always thinking of Krishna is also described in this verse, that one will go to Krishna, to the spiritual world. That this material world is miserable has also been stated by Krishna in this Bhagavad Gita. He states this twice in Bhagavad Gita. Anityam asukam lokam dukhalayam ashashvatam. In different ways he says that this material world is miserable and temporary. It's miserable, we have to suffer repeated birth and death. And even if we're in the illusion of thinking it's very nice, our very niceness will be destroyed by death. Everything here is temporary. However, Krishna has not very elaborately described how this material world is miserable in the Bhagavad Gita. It's understood that anyone who's interested in spiritual knowledge already has some basic cognition of the fact that this material world is miserable. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives the solution to the miseries of material life, which is to understand him, become liberated from repeated birth and death, and go to Krishna to live eternally in the spiritual world. And how that should be done is being explained here, as Krishna has explained throughout Bhagavad Gita. Now he states it succinctly and definitively, that one should always think of him, Krishna, become his devotee, worship him and bow down to him. And this process is guaranteed to give the spiritual perfection of going to Krishna in the spiritual world. Now, those who are fans of listening to Srila Prabhupada's cassettes, they must have heard Prabhupada often say, what is the difficulty? Prabhupada would often say, what is the difficulty? Prabhupada showed us that Krishna consciousness is very easy, at least in Srila Prabhupada's presence, it seemed very easy, because Prabhupada was naturally always Krishna conscious. For Prabhupada, there was no question of doing anything else but always thinking of Krishna, being Krishna's devotee, bowing down to Krishna, and worshipping Krishna. Now, several times Prabhupada lectured on this verse, or on its slight variant, which comes at the end of the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So once Prabhupada was lecturing on this verse, and he opened his lecture by saying, what is the difficulty? Is it very difficult to think about Krishna? He would ask. And if we think about it, well, there shouldn't be anything difficult about it. We have to think about something that Krishna has already explained in Gita. Nahi kaschit shanamapi jatu tishtatya karma krit. We always have to be doing something, always thinking of something. We can't stop doing anything even for a moment. Sometimes people think that meditation means to stop thinking. But actually the meditation system is to fix the mind on thinking of one thing. So what that one thing is also described in the Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures. Dhyana vastita tatkatena manasa pashyantiyam yogino. The yogis in their meditation meditate upon the form of Lord Krishna. So we always have to think of something, and the perfection of life is always to think of Krishna. So it shouldn't be too difficult to think of Krishna, seeing as we have to think of something. And as Krishna is all attractive, then certainly it should be easy to think of Krishna. Certainly it was easy for Arjuna. For Arjuna, being a pure devotee of Krishna, there was no question of not thinking of Krishna. We may say, well, it was easy for Arjuna to think of Krishna because Krishna was standing in front of him. But as Krishna elaborately explains in Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna is everywhere anyway. But whether Krishna is personally in front of us or not, those with the eyes of knowledge can see Krishna everywhere. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvamcham mai pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. Krishna says, for one who always sees me everywhere in everything, and everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So great pure devotees like Arjuna and Srila Prabhupada, they always see Krishna. They are always conscious of Krishna. And always thinking of Krishna comes to them naturally. Now, actually, Bhagavad Gita is spoken not so much for the benefit of Arjuna as for everyone else apart from Arjuna, because we find it difficult to think of Krishna. And most people are not even thinking of Krishna. And even if we try to make them interested in thinking of Krishna, they think of ways to avoid thinking of Krishna. But a very fortunate person who is serious to understand the Absolute Truth may come to the point of thinking about Krishna. At least from Bhagavad Gita, we can understand that the goal of life is to always think of Krishna. But then, how do we do that? How do we think of Krishna? The pure devotees are always thinking of Krishna because they are pure devotees. They're pure. Pure means free from all material contaminations, such as kam, krodh, loh. The main ones are listed as kam, krodh, loh, moha, mada, matsaya, namely lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, and madness. Illusion, yeah, madness, yeah, and envy. Yeah. Madness and envy. So the root of all of these is kam, which means material desires, from which all other undesirable traits develop. As Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, this lust or the desire to enjoy the material world covers the consciousness of the living being. And when our pure consciousness is covered, then we can't think of Krishna. So how to think of Krishna? There is a process for reviving the consciousness of Krishna. We cannot always think of Krishna. Actually, we can, but we can. Naturally, we have the inherent ability to think of Krishna. But that inherent ability is impeded by material desires. Now, just consider Arjuna's position. Sometimes we think, well, I like to think of Krishna, but there are so many difficulties in my life. But if we consider Arjuna's position, he was in the middle of a battle with arrows coming at him every second from all sides. This was a serious battle. It wasn't some Olympic Games kind of sport. If you're inattentive, even for a moment, you can be finished. Not only inattentive, but you have to be super attentive because, like they say, the arrows are coming from all sides, even from up and all around. Now, in such a situation, how is it possible to think of God? How is it possible to think about anything else except fighting? But Krishna already told Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Mama Nusmara Yudhya Cha, think of me and fight. Now, it's not expected that everyone who hears Bhagavad Gita will, like Arjuna, be fighting, literally. But the example is there that even in the midst of intense material situations, one should learn how to think of Krishna. Because we are presently in this material world, and we can't avoid it. Arjuna wanted to avoid living, he wanted to avoid the difficulties thrust on him by life in the material world. But Krishna told him, you can't avoid the difficulties. Even if you try to run away from the difficulties of the battle, then other kinds of difficulties will come upon you. Therefore, he told Arjuna that do what you have to do in this material world, but at the same time, you have to remember me. He is giving advice to Arjuna, and through Arjuna, giving to everyone else in the world. Yeah. Now, the practical process for developing this remembrance of Krishna while we live in this material world is called Bhakti Yoga, or the yoga of devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, Krishna devotes one chapter to the importance of and practice of Bhakti Yoga. Here, Krishna states, think of me. We are not thinking of Krishna because we have different kinds of desires. We are desiring to enjoy this material world. But that misplaced desire is the cause of our bondage in this material world and forgetfulness of Krishna. So a bhakti yoga is the process by which we purify our desires so that we can think of Krishna in full purity. As Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, that for those who don't have the full desire to understand Krishna, which means almost everybody, they can take up the process of bhakti yoga. He says, abhyasa yogena tato mamichhaptam dananjaya. He says that by following this practice of bhakti yoga, one can develop the desire to attain to him, to Krishna. What that practice is has been summarized by Srila Prabhupada in the purport as follows. You can read the last paragraph. So as usual in Srila Prabhupada's purports, there's so much important instruction condensed in a few words. Srila Prabhupada ends this paragraph and this purport by saying that following these principles will surely bring one to the stage of love of God. It is clearly stated by Krishna here that the process to attain pure devotion to Him is to follow the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga. This is the process to attain love of God. Now, love of God, this has to be differentiated from the so-called love of the material world. As Srila Prabhupada often noted that people say love, but they love dog, they don't love God. They equate the feelings of affection that their dog has for them and they have for their dog with love of God. Now, there's a very great difference. Any love in this material world, whether it's for one's dog or one's girlfriend or whatever it may be, is a perverted reflection of love of God. In this material world, everyone is thinking about their own sense gratification. The dog is licking you, and you're thinking this is very nice. But he's thinking, yes, this person is feeding me, so therefore I like him. But the dog is totally an illusion, thinking I am a dog. And the human being is totally an illusion, thinking that this dog is my best friend, and in this way forgets Krishna. But these rules and regulations of bhakti yoga, regulations, this means they regulate our lives, in a manner in which we can redirect our loving attention away from dog and towards God. Because if we think of a dog with great affection at the time of death, then next life will be, will also be same thing. So the rules and regulations of devotional service, they engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. They are activities that are meant to bring us to the point of always thinking about Krishna, because they are activities that are centered on Krishna. Prabhupada has mentioned here some of the most important ones. One should rise early in the morning. This is an important part of serious devotional practice, because the morning hours are most early morning hours before dawn are most beneficial for developing spiritual awareness. And therefore we find in any religious tradition, whether it's Vedic or Muslim or Christian or Buddhist or whatever, that those who are serious, they must rise before dawn and attend to their religious practices. Then after rising early in the morning, one should take bath, take shower. This is both healthy and also awakens the consciousness so that we can be alive and alert and aware and Krishna conscious. And then early in the morning, we should chant prayers to the spiritual master and prayers to Krishna. Especially the Gurvashtakam should be chanted during the Brahma Muhurta, which means the pre-dawn hours. They're called this is called Brahma Muhurta, means the spiritual time of day, or the time of day that is most conducive for developing spiritual consciousness. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has composed this prayer, a great acharya. He states in regard to this song, Srimad Guru Rashtrakam Eva Brahme Muhurte Patati Prayatna Yastena Vrindavana Nata Sakshat Sevaiva Labhya Janatonta Eva, which means that anyone who rises early in the morning during the Brahma Muhurta and with great attention, carefully chants and loudly chants these prayers will directly attain the service of Vrindavan Nath, Krishna in Vrindavan, upon leaving his body. So this is a very nice and easy way to develop love of God by chanting these prayers. There are other principles mentioned. One should cook foodstuffs to offer to the deity. This is an important principle of devotional service. That one should not eat foods cooked by materialistic people, because the consciousness of the cook enters into the food and contaminates the consciousness of the aspiring transcendentalist. Furthermore, a devotee doesn't like to eat anything which is not offered to Krishna. And Krishna only accepts foods which are offered with love by his devotees, which are prepared by his devotees. So these are all, there are many such rules and regulations for developing love of God. And the most important of them have been summarized in the Nectar of Devotion by Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. Rupa Goswami Prabhupada is famous as a great devotee in the ocean of love of God. And under the direct order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the incarnation of love of God and the giver of love of God, he has compiled this book, which gives the rules and regulations for those who are serious to develop love of God. Now, of course, anyone may say, well, I love God. I'm always thinking of God. But it's not such a cheap or easy thing, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti pareshanu bhavo virakti ranyatra chaisha trika eka kama. The example, the standard is given that one who has actual love of God, he will not be interested in anything material. He will automatically be detached from anything, any material sense enjoyment if he has the higher taste of love of God. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Param Guru, Guru's Guru, if people would say to him that, well, I had a vision of Krishna in Vrindavan, so he would say to them, well, why did you come back? What are you doing? Still, you're still entangled in material life. If you actually have experience of Krishna in Vrindavan, then there's no question of coming back to materialistic life. But actually to come to that standard requires pure devotion, which means no compromise with materialistic life. Now sometimes this is considered fanatical. What does fanatical mean? Fanatical means to be fixed on one point without deviating from it at all, and not even considering any other points of view. So such fanaticism is not considered very good. But when applied to Krishna consciousness, it is not only very good, but it is required. If one is at all to be a pure devotee of Krishna, he must be firmly fixed on the vow that I must become Krishna conscious. He must think that I have nothing else to do in my life but to serve Krishna. Now, of course, he may have other material duties to perform, just as Arjuna had. But he should know that there, even though such social duties may be obligatory, his highest duty and his real duty is to always think of Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has taught us how practically to live in this material world and develop the highest spiritual consciousness, which means consciousness of Him, of Krishna. But at the same time, Krishna gives us knowledge by which we can clearly discriminate between that which is material and that which is spiritual. It's not that because we are living in this material world and we may have to perform various bodily or social functions, that it's the same as Krishna consciousness. Now, sometimes it is proposed that such fixed attention on Krishna consciousness is not only fanaticism, but it is not natural. But we should consider what is natural. It is not natural for the living being to take repeated birth and death. Due to our perverted consciousness, we think that this material world is our home. But our real home is back home, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. Staying in this material world to be beaten by Maya birth after birth is not our natural position. But we take it as natural due to illusion. And therefore Krishna gives us knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita of our real constitutional position, which is to serve Him, to serve Krishna. Now it may seem natural for us to engage in material sense gratification. But then the natural result of that is that we will suffer material frustration concomitantly. And the natural result of engaging in Krishna conscious activities is that we become conscious of Krishna. And Krishna consciousness and material sense gratification do not mix. They are mutually exclusive. That's why the rules and regulations of devotional service are of two kinds. One is called vidhi. That means something that should be done. For instance, one should chant Hare Krishna. One should take food offered to Krishna. One should hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from pure devotees. Then another kind of rule and regulation is called nishet, or that which is forbidden. So for devotees who are serious about developing Krishna consciousness, there are many things which are forbidden. These can all be summed up practically into one category, as described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Asat sanga tyag e vaishnava cha, that the prominent symptom of a Vaishnava or a devotee is that he gives up bad association. Bad association means that which increases our illusion in this material world and causes us to forget Krishna, which means practically everything that doesn't directly remind us of Krishna. When we hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from pure devotees, then naturally we hear about Krishna, because the subject matter of these sacred books is Krishna. So naturally by hearing such books, then our Krishna consciousness develops. Now, one may say that, well, we don't always have to hear Bhagavad Gita. We could, for instance, also go and watch movies, because we can also see Krishna in the movie. But actually the subject matter of the movie is not Krishna. It is some illusory subject because it's not connected with Krishna directly. It is made by a person who is not in Krishna consciousness, who is not interested in being Krishna consciousness, who's interested in making some entertainment for people who are in an illusion to put them in another illusion. When you... Everyone in this material world is anyway an illusion. But a movie means some kind of drama about some imaginary story. So it's illusion even above illusion. Illusion on top of illusion. So this is one example. There are many such examples, such as reading novels and all such useless things, which are not directly in relationship with Krishna. So therefore, pure devotees, or those who are aspiring to be pure devotees, they give up all such kinds of bad association, knowing that it impedes their progressive development of devotional service. And it's therefore not at all in their self-interest to take up such activities. So these are the rules and regulations of devotional life. And as Prabhupada states here, that by following them, one will surely come to the stage of love of God. It's not just Srila Prabhupada is stating this, but all the Shastras and all the Acharyas state. So a sane person should take up these rules and regulations of devotional life. Take it up means take it up throughout life, and the devotee's determination is that if necessary, I will take them, these rules and regulations, up life after life. And this is his determination to attain Krishna consciousness, even if it takes many, many births. But one who doesn't have faith in this process of devotional service, then even if he partially practices, or practices according to his own idea, he will not attain Krishna. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Ashadadhana Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantapa Aprapyamang Nivartante Mrityu Samsara Vartmane. One who is not faithful on the path of devotional service, who deviates from it, then he cannot attain me, but he returns to the path of repeated birth and death. So having understood what is the value of Krishna consciousness, one should take it up very seriously and very carefully. We may think that these rules and regulations are restrictive. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's bad. That is for our highest benefit. Just like we have traffic rules. So you have the rule is that you have to drive on the right-hand side of the road. So that is a rule, but if you follow, that's for your benefit. And if you don't follow, then you're liable to get in a crash. If you're going on the country roads, which are winding like this at 80 kilometers an hour on the wrong side, then very likely you're going to get in a crash, which will be harmful for you and harmful for others also. So for those who want to drive, they should know the rules and regulations and follow them for their own benefit and for those of others. Now, the same thing in devotional service. If one actually wants the benefit of devotional service, then he has to follow the rules and regulations. And that will be pleasurable also. One may think, well, don't go to movies. That sounds not very pleasurable. I'd like to go to movies. Rising early in the morning, well, actually, I'd rather sleep as much as I can. But anyone who's thinking like this, they're obviously not a fit candidate for devotional service. It's understood that anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness desires to have elevated consciousness. Elevated consciousness means above that of the ordinary day-to-day life. When one has understood that this material world and everything that it has to offer is simply useless, then he's a good candidate for beginning devotional service. So one has to give up the lower principle to attain the higher principle. A devotee is not very much interested in sleeping a lot because he'd rather serve Krishna more. So these rules and regulations are actually very pleasurable for devotees to follow. A devotee likes to rise early and sing the beautiful prayers in praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He likes to chant the holy names and recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. He likes to take food offered to Krishna. In this way, he gradually develops higher taste, a taste for Krishna consciousness, and comes to the stage of love of God, in which he naturally always thinks of Krishna, and in this way attains the highest goal of life. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions about this, you're welcome to ask. You can either put your hand up and ask, or if you're shy to do that, you might like to write it on a piece of paper and pass it up to the front. We have some questions?
Many people who in fact aspire or would like to be start some spiritual life, and they see that this part of devotional service is correct, and but still they don't have enough faith or determination or strength to fully accept all the rules and regulations. So my question is, does Krishna have some advice for them how to become fit candidates for devotional service?
Well, why don't you translate, and then everyone can... Yes, in this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives some alternatives. We also give... for instance, Krishna says that you can work for me, or you can work giving up the fruits of the results, you can cultivate knowledge, and so on. We also, when people are first coming, we don't usually tell them that immediately you have to follow so many things. We invite them to join with us in chanting Hare Krishna, which is naturally joyful, and to take Krishna Prasad, which is naturally attractive, and to study the books of Srila Prabhupada, which give knowledge of the necessity of Krishna consciousness. And naturally, anyone who is more serious and intelligent and sincere will understand the importance of following these regulated principles and will want to practice them in their lives. I mean, it really doesn't take that much intelligence to understand that this whole material world is a big farce. Everyone's running around trying to be happy, but no one's happy. There must be more to life than simply getting born, growing up, growing old, and dying. So there is more. This is it. Krishna consciousness is it.
Another question?
I don't know what the first is. This is the
No, everyone has problems, but if we chant Hare Krishna, then Radha and Krishna together will help us. All problems can be overcome by Krishna consciousness. If not so, then there's no meaning to Krishna consciousness. I've written one book in this regard, in how beginners can practically take up Krishna consciousness in their lives, whether they're living at home or in an ashram. Unfortunately, well, that book's in English. It has been printed in Croatian, but it's out of print and it will be reprinted soon. Maybe I should take this opportunity to present some of my books. Do you have? Srila Prabhupada wrote that the first duty of a sannyasi is to make a literary contribution for the spiritual uplift of society. Yes. Maybe I should just say this in English, because if they don't understand English, then they're not going to be able to read the books anyway.
Maybe it will inspire them to start.
Some people, they can read but not speak. Okay. Anyway. Alright, so there's this book. This is a beginner's guide to Krishna consciousness, which explains how to practically take up the chanting, how to worship at home, how to set up an altar, and so many things like this. And this is Brahmacharya and Krishna consciousness. This is a very confidential literature. It shouldn't be read by everybody, but only for those who are very serious, whichever gender they may be or whatever ashram they may be in. What should I say next? And then, because many people ask me about... Naturally, they ask about my memories, how I saw Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada was such a great spiritual personality. So many people ask me, so I wrote one book in this regard, My Memories of Srila Prabhupada. And as Srila Prabhupada has repeatedly stressed the value of Vedic culture or Indian culture... And as I've lived for many years in India, I've written a book based on my own and others' practical experiences of traditional Indian life. This is called Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life. This is a book especially meant for Indians. You can also read it if you like. It's called A Message to the Youth of India. This is a book about a great Vaishnav saint, biography, Bhakshidas Babaji. And the last book I brought out is... an edition of the Ramayana, the story of Lord Ram, the famous biography.